This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Well, good morning and welcome. I'm so glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. And we're going to sing a call to worship this morning. I'm not too sure y'all know this. It wasn't marked in Janice's hymn book, but we're going to sing it anyway this morning. It's called Bless His Holy Name. Let's stand and let's worship together. And we're just doing the first verse of this song this morning. Bless His Holy Name. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Have a seat.
God is good. All the time. It is great to be in the house of the Lord, and it is a joy to welcome you here to First Baptist Elon. If you're a visitor with us today, we especially want to extend that welcome to you and encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. We do have a very active prayer team that meets every Sunday, as do our deacons, to lift up the needs of the church. If you have a prayer request, there's a card on the back of the pew in front of you for that as well. And you can write those requests down and place those in the offering plate or place them in the prayer box out in the lobby as you leave today. Today is really a day of days. It's really a Yom Yahweh, a day of the Lord in many ways, because after this worship service, the Discovery Team, which over the last year has been leading us through this vision process, has been listening to you, the people. We have had surveys, we have had discussions in Sunday school classes, we've had Deacon calling you and talking to you over the phone about the vision and the direction of the church. We've had times where we have gotten together twice as a church body to dream and to vision and to brainstorm together. And today they're going to take all of those conversations in account as they come up with four or five very specific, very concrete things that our church body can do to fulfill that vision of spiritual renewal and unity that we have laid out some months ago. So it's a really important time for you today as you go home or as you go out to eat, to take some time to pray between us this afternoon, to pray for that discovery team as they try to really listen to what you have said over the last year, but more importantly, listen to the way God has spoken through you over the last year. We look forward to hearing what they come up with. They will also come up with a number of very specific suggestions to our ministry teams about how they might also embody those goals of spiritual renewal and unity. And then when all of that is said and done and placed together in what we're calling a document called The Way Forward, that will be presented to you as a church to approve or disapprove as you feel led by the Spirit. But we think you will approve it. We think at this point in the conversation, we all know some ideas that God has given to us that will bring us more spiritual depth and more unity together as a church body. So again, it is an exciting day. Do not forget to spend some time today in prayer for that group as they meet. This will be the last time, or one of the last times, that group meets. So they're excited too. I think they're ready to say, and pass this on to the vision and leadership team for fulfillment. Today as we worship, we celebrate that our God is with us even when we don't know the way forward. Even when we are panting and feel lost, even when we feel dismayed and exiled from the world around us, even when it seems like things are uncertain and unsure, and we have worries and fears and doubts, the Lord says, hold on, just a little while longer, everything is going to be all right. Let that spirit and that truth guide us as we continue to worship this morning.
Our opening scripture passage this morning is one that we're all very familiar with, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. So reflect on these very familiar words. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, recognizing we are in his presence this day. Let us pray. God, you are enough for us. You give us rest in soft fields and beside whispering streams. You restore and renew us and lead us into life-giving ways. When death and evil come close to us, you carry us through. You protect and comfort us. When others seek to do us harm, your grace uplifts and provides for us in public view. You fill us with your strength, and we enjoy overflowing abundance. We have confidence that your goodness and compassion will fill not just this day, but every day, and we will stay immersed in your life and presence forevermore. That is why we have gathered here this day, to rest in your presence, the Good Shepherd. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, 10,000 Reasons.
November 10th, but lots and lots of things have to happen before November the 10th so that Stu may come. So here's what I need from you all today. I have some Stu calling lists that need to be taken. There's about 10 of them, and there's about 10 or 11 names on each list, and the phone number's already there. All you have to do is call them and get their Stu orders. So I'll be out in the foyer after the worship service this morning trying to get those Stu calling orders in. And I've got a date. They need to be back to me by November the 2nd with your total, and the lists need to be back to me by November the 4th. Everything's written down. All you have to do is make some phone calls, and I know y'all love to talk to each other because you talk all the time, so this will just be a chance to call and get some Stu orders. We need volunteers. You all know me. I'm an elementary school teacher by trade, and the story of the little red hen always comes to my mind when I'm getting ready to do Stu. Because the little red hen wants to make some bread, but she needs help. And so she asks and she asks and she asks. But I know my story's different, because all I'm going to have to do is ask one time. So here are your opportunities. Don't make the little red hen angry. Okay. I need people on the day of Stu to sell, fill orders, and take money. I need people to dip and top the quart containers with all the Stu in it. I need some people early Saturday morning to mix the Stu and stir the Stu. I need people on Friday night before the Stu to get everything ready. Those Stu pots have to be washed before we put the stuff in there. And then we need some people to stir and dip from about 9 till 11 the morning of the Stu. We need some cooks to come in on Thursday and Friday and help us cook the beef and the pork for the Stu. So there are lots of opportunities. There's a job here for everyone. So don't feel left out. Don't not be a part of this. Get your name on these lists quickly so that you can help make this stew. The other thing that we ask you to do is to tell people about this stew. Janice will be taking orders over the phone until November the 2nd when we have to decide whether they're going to make two pots or three pots. She'll be taking orders right up to the day of the stew, but we need to sell and get this out to the community. What do we do with the money after we're through? That goes to help with our mission activities throughout the year. We do a lot of things through in the community that we use this money for. So we're depending on you all, like we do every year and like you come through every year. I'll be out in the foyer after the worship service. Don't look down at the ground and walk past me. Thank you.
Our offertory hymn this morning is "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Let's stand and let's worship together.
Jesus, and where angels cross straight for. as we look around and see the beauty and the changing of the color of leaves and feel the cooler, crisp morning, it helps us to remember that you are the master creator and designer. Thank you for the changing of the seasons to help us see the beauty you display in nature. We also thank you, Lord, for our church and the opportunity to come and worship you freely. Help open our eyes and our ears to see and to hear your opportunities as we go throughout next week. Help us to be your hands and feet to others and show your love. And as we offer our gifts, please help us to be thankful and generous givers so that it will further your kingdom on earth. We ask this in your name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to hear again the word of God from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Would you bow with me? O Lord, indeed the writer is correct. We do not see you. For often we look into the world and see only the opposite of who you are. We see hurt and pain and violence and death. We hear in the news about police officers shot. We hear about educators dying in tragic car accidents, and even 11-year-old girls here in our own town bullied and beaten at school where they should be safe. We look at the news, we read the news, we listen to it on the radio, and it all seems like bad news, and we say, oh Lord, we do not see you. God, we are people of faith, and even if we do not always see what we want to see, we know what we know. That is our faith, the knowledge that you are here in the world working to build your kingdom. With the very birth of Jesus the Christ, your kingdom broke in. Your kingdom is growing. And we know, oh God, that things will not always be as they are. And so we hope and rejoice. Our hearts are filled with joy. Even if though we are not always happy and laughing, we rejoice in the knowledge of that hope and that promise. And oh God, may that hope and promise steer and guide our feet towards those who are hurting. That we would not just see from a distance and know and pray, but that we would act, that we would go, that we would be the hands and feet of your Son, Jesus. That we would go to those who are hungry, naked, thirsty, alone, grieving, depressed, and hurting. To bring joy and hope that we have, O Lord. To share the gospel, the good news of your kingdom breaking in. So that they too might know and have hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
we're going to do this morning. It's called Just Over in Glory Land, and it's got two gospel songs in it, Just Over in Glory Land, of course, and we'll understand it better by and by. And it's okay if you want to tap your foot, or if you want to clap your hands, or if you even want to sing with us, join in with us if you'd like to. We hope you enjoy it.
We were just talking in praise and prayer last Thursday about how blessed we are with our choir and how so often I get up to preach after they finish and feel so unnecessary. We could just go home, but I'm a preacher and I won't let you do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gift to be here in this place. And now, O God, as we wrestle with your word, may it overpower us, that we might learn and be transformed. Amen. Indeed, I do love good church music. I was blessed in one of the first ministries that I was a part of at the Boys and Girls Homes of North Carolina to be in their brand new chapel, a multi-million dollar incredible chapel that stands high on the bluffs of the Lake Waccamaw. You can paddle around and see it from every angle of the lake. It's a big pink palace, as they call it in Columbus County, because the brick has this sort of pinkish hue to it. And in that pink palace, they placed a $500,000 Rogers organ. It is a monstrous piece of musical equipment. It's a pipe digital combination, so it has all of these massive brass and silver pipes along the walls, but then built into the walls themselves are these speaker systems. So it's a digital pipe combination. And some of these speakers are as big as our organ itself. And when they hit that bass note, the walls to the chapel rattle and shake. You could feel it in your chest. And so they would play these incredible songs and these deep bass notes. And of course, all the residents of the Boys and Girls Homes who were troubled teens who came from situations of abuse or drug addictions and crime would sit there like this. Wasn't their thing. Although one kid did get on the $500,000 Rogers organ one Sunday and played a short rendition of Ice, Ice Baby that everyone enjoyed. And it was such an incredible organ, but they did not pay $500,000 for it. You see, Rogers organs had a deal that they worked out with the Boys and Girls Homes of North Carolina so that if the Boys and Girls Home would allow them to put on concerts, which were essentially glorified commercials for Rogers organs, then they cut the price drastically for this incredible piece of equipment. And so every so often, once a quarter, perhaps, we would have an organ concert. And churches from all over the area would come and send folks down to hear this glorious pipe digital combination Rogers organ that had also, by the way, my favorite part was the MIDI system. You could play an entire song and it would record it. You could add more parts to it and more parts to it, and all of this was digital. So that one Sunday I got to come down when the organist was away and sit down at the organ and press play, and I just did my hands like this. Hey, I didn't know you could play the organ like that. And so these people would come and they would hear some incredible organists. You may not know some of these names, Janie, you may, but we had people like Hector Oliveira, the South American wonder, they call him. He was a guy probably in his 50s, as thin as a pencil or spaghetti noodle, but really long arms and long legs. And the great thing about this organ is you could pull it all the way around and put it right in the center so that you could see the organist play. And he would wear hot pink socks and bright purple shoes. And his claim to fame was his footwork, apparently. But I can still remember just seeing those feet going. You know, it was just something like out of a movie. We had the German young phenom named Felix Hell, who at just 14 years old was traveling the world playing the organ, the Rogers organ, for people all over. And he was incredible to watch him. The irony is they did not let the residents of the homes go to these concerts. These young boys and girls were too disruptive. And so they wanted to keep the cool, pristine image of the organ and of the chapel and of the homes. And so sometimes better out of sight, out of mind. One of the organists who is world-renowned who came simply would not have it. His name was Don Lewis. Don Lewis was different from all of the other organists. He was not high class. He was not high church. He was a down and nitty gritty gospel organist. And the first thing he said is, "I'm playing for the kids." So they set up a concert with Don Lewis, world renowned gospel organist, and just these 75 teenagers in a room together. And he began to play gospel greats and try to tell them. He was also a storyteller, if you know Don Lewis at all. And he would tell them some of the stories behind some of those great gospel songs. But it took him just one or two songs to realize the kids just were not connecting with this. They didn't seem to make the connection between gospel music and their own lives, their own realities. And he wanted to help them understand how the music can speak to their situation. You see, these kids come from hard times, hard situations. They've seen violence and trouble. They've known exile, have been kicked out of their homes. They've been kicked out of their schools. They have known hunger and thirst, and they've known what it's like to have to wear the same pair of clothes every day for a month. They know what it's like to have a key around their neck and be independent at 4 and 5 years old, to feed themselves and clothe themselves. They know what it's like to be beaten. And so this music just didn't seem to connect with them. So he got several of the kids on stage, and he wanted to teach them a song that you may know, you may not. It's a great gospel classic called Hold On Just a Little While Longer. It's a song that comes even out of the era of slavery. And he was telling them about, imagine that you yourself are a slave. And these are black kids, white kids, Hispanic, and Lumbee Indian. But that didn't matter, he said. Just imagine yourself in your life at the most enslaved you have ever felt. I like the way he put that because it changed the way I heard that song forever, because I think every one of us can think of a moment where we have felt enslaved by something or someone, something that has power over us. So imagine you're out in the heat of the field and the sun is baking on your back and the crack of the master's whip is not far off from you, and you look around you and you can see as far as the eye can see, but you still feel like this is as far as you can move. You feel trapped. You feel broken. You feel hurt. You feel lost. You feel hopeless. And he said, imagine you have that hoe in your hand, because this is where the beat of this song comes from. I didn't know this before Don Lewis. He says, imagine if you ever hold a hoe and you get that jolt on the dirt from that swinging of the hoe. He says, hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Everything is going to be okay. That's the lyrics. Simple. The kids were mesmerized by this because he had done two things. One, he had helped them understand the situation of the ancient Israelite, enslaved, in exile, in pain and in hurt, and connected that with their moment in which they themselves felt exiled, enslaved, and broken. And I think it does the same thing for us. It helps us understand that there are moments in our lives, just like the ancient Israelite, that are dark and painful. In fact, if we look at the history and the story of the ancient Israelites, theirs is even worse than ours. I think about the book of Lamentations. How many of you read that every day for your daily devotion? Some of those lines in Lamentations, as the prophet tries to give us a glimpse of what it was like, are utterly devastating. As he says things like, my eyes are spent with weeping, my stomach churns, my bile is poured out on the ground because of the destruction of my people, because infants and babies faint in the streets of the cities. They cry to their mothers, where is bread? As they faint like the wounded in the streets of the cities, and their life is poured out on their mother's bosom. Look, O Lord, and consider to whom you have done this. Should women eat their children? Should children have to be born to such as this? Should priest and prophet be murdered in the streets and in the sanctuary? The young and the old are lying on the ground. The young women and all my young men have fallen by the sword. It's a woe story. There's a great line that I was just heard watch Fiddler on the Roof again recently, and There's a great line in Fiddler on the Roof where he says, "Lord, I know that we are your chosen people, but do you have to choose us every time?" And I think that's something of what the prophet's lament is. Lord, why me? Do you ever feel that way? Oh God, why me? Here's the thing. The title of the sermon, of course, is Troubles in Perspective. Sometimes we can look at Lamentations and think, who am I to complain? But the reality is your pain. And your troubles are your troubles. Don't compare them to others. Don't try to lessen your hurt and say, I really shouldn't feel so bad. You feel how you feel. There is no sin in feelings. Did you know that? There's no guilt in feelings. But the prophet of Lamentations would also have us remember what the words of that song that Don Lewis was trying to teach the children. Hold on just a little while longer. Everything will be all right. The way things have always been is not the way things will always be. And even in the darkest moments of depression, we are to remember that hope is this. Hope is not the feelings we feel. Hope is the knowledge that this too will pass. Connecting all of that helps us understand our scripture for today. I wanted to hear you go through that experience and that journey mentally with me as we approach Isaiah's words of hope. So now, as we have heard all of that and experienced lamentation and the promise of hope, hear now the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 35, beginning in verse 4. Say to those who are fearful, who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. You know, God, we don't like to think about God as being vengeant or bringing vengeance or recompense. But notice here what the prophet is actually telling us about God. He says, be strong, don't fear. Here is God, and God is going to approach your fears and your troubles with vengeance. God approaches whatever hurts you, he attacks it with vengeance. Whatever is against you, God too is against. Whatever calls you to weep, God will fight it. Whatever calls you to hurt in your gut and in your heart, God will attack it and bring recompense against it. Isn't that powerful? God is the enemy of whatever hurts you. God is the enemy of whatever troubles you. Then, verse 5, then, once we realize that, once we see that, understand that, once we say, there's God attacking my troubles, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. In other words, then, once you see God at work fighting against your troubles, then you see. Then you will be able to hear. See what? Hear what? What will we hear and what will we see? Verse 6 goes on to say, then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. Why will we leap and why will we sing for joy? Because we can see and because we can hear. But what can we see and what can we hear? He goes on to say, for waters shall break forth in the wilderness. Ah. Once we see God attacking, our ears are open, our eyes are open. We leap for joy because we see that there is water in the desert. There is a way forward. Streams in the desert. Verse 7, the burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. We're beginning to see that God is providing something. He's changing the landscape of the life around us. He's changing the reality of what surrounds us. And good things really are there. Where we thought it was just a bunch of jackals, maybe it's just a swamp. where we thought there was no water, look, see, there is water. Hear it trickle, hear it run. And oh, verse 8, the promise, a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. You know that Christianity was first called the Way. That was the first sort of nickname for those who were believers in Jesus Christ. They followed the way of Christ. And here the prophet long ago is promising that one day, indeed, there will be a holy way. The unclean shall not travel it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. That's good news for me. Not even an idiot like me will get lost on this way. No one can mislead you or misdirect you or turn the sign around like they do in the cartoons. For even the fool will know how to go on this way. No lion shall be there, nor shall even any ravenous beasts come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. You know, I think about that 11-year-old girl that was bullied, and she is but one story of so many. I think adults are bullied just as much by coworkers and by family members alike. But wouldn't it be nice to know that there's a place where there is no enemy, where no one is against you, where no one is trying to stand opposed to you? That is the promise of the gospel. And it is the call of the church to be such a place. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Hear that again. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. They're gone. Such a promise is a promise of hope. Again, it doesn't matter what we think the reality of our lives are. This is the real reality of life. We think we see, but if we see God, our eyes can be open to see other possibilities. And that there may be, I don't know what your struggle in life is at this point. It could be with family or career. It could be something internal. It could be something that has no explanation at all. You just feel darkness all around. Or maybe it's something with that you cannot speak or utter aloud to anyone. But all of us know what it is like to say, "Oh God, why me?" Or, "Oh God, where are you?" And to us, God says, "Where are you? For I am here. I am with you. I am fighting for you today. I am on your side. I wish to surround you with good things." And see, good things even are around you. Sometimes we get so turned into our own gloom that we cannot even see the blessings around us. And to us again, God says, "Hold on just a little while." I want you to take a moment during the sermon before I conclude to hear that song that Don Lewis sang for those children many years ago. It's a song that I think still could speak to you today. I want you to just close your eyes if you like to find that moment of quiet with the Lord as you hear the words, "Hold on just a little while longer."
Just a little while longer, hold on. Just a little while longer, hold on. Just a little while longer, everything will just a little while longer. Hold on, just a little while longer. Hold on, just a little while longer. Everything will be alright.
Hold on, just a little while.
Why don't you hold on?
Just a little while longer.
Telling you to hold on.
Just a little while.
Don't you know everything?
Everything will be alright.
Ooh,
sing on. Just a little while.
Why don't you sing
on? Just a little while longer.
Telling you to sing on.
Just a little while.
Don't you know everything? Payday is coming out the ride, and it won't be very long. You're gonna look for me, and I'll be gone. I'm gonna walk around God's throne, yeah. Ooh, hold on. Just a little
while.
Why don't you hold on?
Just a little while.
Every day of your life.
Just a little while.
Don't you know everything? Sure got to be alright. Ooh, walk on.
Walk on.
Walk on by faith.
Just a little while.
Every day of your life. Walk on. Walk on, love this.
Just a little while.
Don't you know everything?
Everything.
Sure got to be alright. Don't you know
everything
will be alright. Don't you know
everything will be alright.
I know everything. So we'll be
everything.
I know it's got to be
the kingdom is coming, and we do not have long in this life to live. This life is but just a fleeting moment in the eternity that God has granted us. Everything will be all right in the end, but everything can be right today, and that's the power of the gospel. I want to invite you this morning, as we sing our hymn of response, to do something we don't often do in this church, which is respond to the word of God. Has God been calling you to see what he is doing in your life? Maybe you have felt like you've been just holding on for a long time. And today could be a day of salvation for you. Maybe you've never received that gospel grace and never received that mercy and tasted to see that God is good. Or maybe you're one here today who you've been a part of God's family for a long time, but you feel like somewhere you were the one who did manage to lose your way. I'm here to tell you, you haven't. That's why you're here today. God is still with you, calling you home. Would you reconnect with him today? Or perhaps you've been wandering and looking for a place to call home, a place where everybody is on your side. Would you come and join this church body today? We only got two verses to sing, so you don't have a lot of time to ponder. But choose you this day. Would you stand if you were able as we sing together our hymn of response? Receive this blessing as we go. May you see God this week, and may your eyes be open and your ears unstopped, that you may see and hear the joy of the way before you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.